Let us unite in prayer this evening, hour of grace and thanks unto God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this blessed day. We thank Thee for this holy day. We thank Thee that we have been before and around Thy Word, and that Thou hast given us a quiet spirit in that sense that we can shun earthly thoughts momentarily even during the day and consider Thy good Word. And feed and feast on Thy good Word, dear Father. We thank Thee for this great grace. And Heavenly Father, Thou who knowest all things and seest all things and nothing is hid before Thy sight, Thou knowest the future as well as all things past. And our hearts fail and we quiver when we think of events that might take place, events that might come. And Thou knowest what is ahead, even for this country and this nation. And we would pray, Father, that Thou would sustain, no matter what the circumstances are in this ungodly nation, that Thou would sustain Thy children and provide for them, both in body and in spirit, according to Thy word, that as the day is, so shall Thy strength be. So we wait on upon Thee, and we wait at Thy hand, Heavenly Father, that Thou would provide us if we should see another day and if we should see another year, and if events turn in such a way that Thy wrath is even upon this nation, we don't know. But Thou, Father, knowest, seest all things. But remember Thy children, Heavenly Father, where they may be scattered throughout the land, and make Thy presence known unto them, and Thy protection, and Thy care and keeping, and Thy providence for their well-being, dear Father. Anoint the brother's lips this evening, hour of grace, to bring forth Thy word. And also, as Thou didst in the time of the disciples, open the heart of one Lydia, we would, Father, that Thou would also open our hearts, that our hearts could be open one and all unto Thy word, that Thy word might descend into our hearts and abide there and become effectual and moving and living within our hearts. And also, dear Father, then protect us as we go into the evening even, and that Thou would keep us from danger and harm, and that Thy word would go with us and Thy spirit, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from us, but that it might be our comfort, for it is written that it is the Comforter. And we then pray as Jesus so perfectly taught us, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Song number 42.
I would ask the listeners this evening that they would say a prayer unto the Father that through the reading of His Word, His precious Word, that He would even that this Word can even find lodgment into our hearts this evening. I'd like to read the 51st Psalm this evening, and we'll read it in Jesus' name. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against Thee, Thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in Thy sight, that Thou mightest be justified when Thou speakest, and be clear when Thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which Thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide my face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation, and uphold me with Thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors Thy ways, sinners shall be converted unto Thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, Thou God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud of Thy righteousness. O Lord, open Thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth Thy praise. For Thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. Do good in Thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build Thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt Thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, which with burnt offering and whole burnt offerings, then shall they offer bullocks upon Thine altar. Amen. Here we have before us this evening a psalm of David. And this psalm was here after the prophet Nathan had come and spoken to him. Maybe do rightly if we look back into 2 Samuel a little bit this evening and see beforehand what had happened here with David. And in 2 Samuel, we see how that David had sent his men and Joab and his men out to battle. And David thought he would their journey in Jerusalem. And that's when David had passed at eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him. And she lay with her, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. So we see that David, within his own heart, here he comes to the rooftop, and he sees this woman that's bathing there down below. And here we see as David that he could have very well have just turned and looked the other way. But we see that within David, often we look at these patriarchs in the Bible, that sometimes that they're not even human, that they don't struggle with the same struggles that we struggle with. But here, even David, one that was even after the very heart of God, fell into adultery here. And here, to hide then this very sin that he committed, that he even sent, and David then said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house. Remember that David had told him to go and be with his wife and stay with his wife there. And here he said that, here this Uriah, he goes and sleeps at the door of the king's house, and all the servants of his lord went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down to his house, David said unto Uriah, Camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down into thine own house? And Uriah said unto David, The ark and Israel and Judah abideth in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine own house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? You see the heart of Uriah, that he knew that where his heart was in the battle. And here, so David then sees this. And then he sends a letter by the very own hand of Uriah unto Joab. And he tells him to send him into the midst of the fiercest of battle. And what happens here, dear traveler? This is exactly what happens, is that Uriah then is sent into this battle and he is killed. And the messengers come later and then they tell David of what has happened. And you know, dear traveler, we have such a good God. As well as David saw here that what good God he had, what a good God he had. That God was gracious unto him. He sent a messenger unto him. And he sent Nathan the prophet unto him. And this is what, as we see in the 12th chapter of 2 Samuel, then Nathan comes to speak unto Daniel. And or David. And dear traveler, if there's any of these Davids that are even sitting here this evening, that this would also be to your heart and to my heart, that this word would be find lodgment within our bosoms. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him, and he said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. And the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take his own flock and of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb, and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And what David's anger was greatly kindled, the word here says, against the man. And he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. David had seen, as Nathan the prophet had laid this in front of him, that this was a horrible thing that had taken place, and David's anger was kindled there. And David said, As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And imagine here when he says he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Imagine the heart of David when Nathan had pointed the finger right back at David and said, Thou art the man. You know, David could have run off and he could have even slain Nathan. That, how dare you to even come and speak of such a thing, that you're even accusing me of doing this thing, even though he knew within his very own heart that this was so. How often is it, dear traveler, when we're sitting around the Word of God, that we're sitting at the table of the Lord, and we hear that some sin is mentioned that we have even fallen in? Maybe there's the gross sins of this world that some are living in, the fornications and so on. But how about the very sin that is so precious to our heart that we hear preached, and then how do we react, dear traveler? Do we react with anger and say, what, slay that even that speaker that stands before you at that time, that he even dared would even talk of something that I might have committed? But what was the heart of David here? David here, as we read now in this 51st Psalm, he says, Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. I'm sure David sure experienced throughout his journey up until this time that what a gracious and loving God was. But here, as we see as laid out before us this evening, It is a journey for every child of God, isn't it? Have we all journeyed this journey when we have come to see what we truly are? You know, David here acknowledges even the very sin that we spoke of this evening, adultery. But also he talks a little bit deeper matters. And as we go through this, we pray that God would reveal them unto our hearts. And he knows that God, that according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. That was the heart of David, that all that God would blot out the transgressions within his own heart. He says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You know, dear traveler, what did Nathan do when he came to him? He spoke of that one sin. But here David, with when Nathan had come and spoken to him, he saw a lot more than just that one sin. He saw that sin that had been before him, that was revealed even by this prophet. He says, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Here he even acknowledges his transgressions, but yet he even sees that his sin is ever before him. And he says, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Yes, he sinned against Uriah, but also, dear traveler, he saw that he transgressed his very lover of his soul, his Lord and his Redeemer. And dear traveler, I believe he also saw what he had done to this very Lamb of God, that he even saw that the very stretched forth Lamb of God that would go to Calvary and Golgotha for him, that this Savior and Redeemer that he had also transgressed against him. And he says that, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He speaks even that very sin that he is even born with. And he says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. He says, purge me with hyssop, that I shall be clean, and wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. He knew that it was this Lord, this Savior and this Redeemer that would be the one that could wash him clean. And dear traveler, isn't it that way, that when we have fallen into sin, that we've not come to see that it is this Savior and Redeemer that has been able to wash us clean? And dear traveler, then we know, and a heart that is awakened comes to realize this. As I even spoke with my brother-in-law Jeff the last Wednesday evening, I asked him how the journey was going. And he's sitting there in the prison over there out of Keene. And he said, you know, that it's often was that these big things that loomed in front of him, that he just would shake his head, that would come and tempt him. He said, now even the littlest things come and that tempt him, he's just amazed. Isn't it that way, dear traveler, as a awakened child of God, when we're awakened to come to know the sin that we truly are, as David even came to experience here, that even a lot of these little things seem to bother us, and we wonder, and we know that we are sin through and through. And isn't this the cry then? We cry out that, purge me with hyssop, that I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Yes, dear traveler, it's at work at Golgotha and Gethsemane's work, Garden Press, that this work was done for you and I, so that us who are totally sin, that we would come to know that what we truly are, and that even if those sins that we walk and would want to live in, that these are the very things that have pierced and put the nails in the very hands of our Savior and the feet of our Savior, and with the spear that has driven even in the side of our Redeemer. And what, dear traveler, can you yet this evening believe that was for you also, and all that I could pray that God would yet reveal that to my heart, that I could come to continue to experience that was for me also. And he says here, make me to hear joy and gladness. Isn't it that, dear traveler, when we come to see what work that the Father has done for us, that there is that joy and gladness. Often it's spoken of when we speak of Golgotha and Gethsemane, that there's nothing but death there. But for the true traveler of God that's come to see a Redeemer and a Savior, we don't only see death there, but dear traveler, we see life. Life in the blood of the Lamb that was slain. And dear traveler, that this would be for all the listeners. And he says, make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Yes, he has to break the very, very bones within us that want to continue to live in sin, that he would take this, and that he would take this very will and desire for sin, that he can take that and break that will and desire for sin with, that dwells within us. And it says here that hide my thy face from my sins and blot out mine iniquities. And no dear traveler, when we look upon the Savior and the Redeemer, there we can say that we find that joy, that this is where our Savior has taken this very sin that we have even confessed at times, or the sin that dwells in us, that this is where the Savior has taken it, and this is where we can find that joy that he has set before us. And he says here that hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Dear traveler, I know no other place that the Father can look and where our sins can be hidden in, and none other than the redemptive work of our Savior and our Redeemer. And he says then, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Here David knew that spirit when he fell into the very act of adultery, that it was a very unclean spirit. And here he asked God that he would create in him a clean heart, and that he would renew a right spirit within him. And he asked that he would cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And did God do that, dear traveler? He heard this very prayer of David, that he did not throw him off to the side, but he showed his tender mercy toward even David. But also, dear traveler, there was a price to pay for that sin, wasn't there? Didn't Nathan also tell him that there's a son that was going to be born unto him, and that son was going to die? That there still is a payment for sin, dear traveler, if we so freely and willingly want to walk in sins of this world, that there's going to be a price to pay, dear traveler. Oh, that we wouldn't flirt with the world, that we wouldn't flirt with the things that so pleasing to the eye of man, but that we would ever want to turn unto the Father, and with this heart of David that we would also have, that we would ask him that he would create in us also, that we create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. For there seems to be many spirits that are floating about in our time. And the spirits that seem to be floating are those that are for entertainment, for this flesh in this life. But know what, dear traveler, the spirit that David was praying, and I'm sure David often turned to the Father in prayer, that he wouldn't go about and willingly sin and transgress the very laws of God, but that God would create in him a clean heart, a heart that wanted to follow the Savior and the Redeemer. And it says, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And it wasn't his salvation, was it? He says it, restore the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. It's a free spirit that the children of God have when they will buckle or turn unto God, and when God wants man to walk in his ways and his will. Often we find such a warfare and a struggle within us. I know I find within my own self the warfare and the struggle to do the will of God. But dear traveler, how do we find that will of God? We find it in the Word, don't we? Often turn to the Word. And as our brother Rosenius often wrote, that the Word, that's where we find life and salvation is found within this very pages of this Bible. And he says, then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. And deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud in thy righteousness. And David knew that a heart that's been cleansed, that truly God has cleansed, that this is the heart of a child of God then, when we can sing praises unto the Redeemer and the Savior. And he says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Dear traveler, it isn't that way that we can just on our own open our mouth and sing praises unto the Father, but it's a very working of God that one must come through that road where we have to come to see that we are total sin in the sight of God. And when God brings us here, no, he's a gracious God. He doesn't leave us there. But it's a necessary working that we would come to see what sin we truly are. And then we can say that, deliver me from my blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. My tongue shall sing aloud thy righteousness. And then David goes on and he says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else which would I give it? Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O Lord, thou wilt not despise. And here David talks of three sacrifices of God. He speaks of a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. These are something that man cannot conjure up himself, but it's a very working of God when the heart cries and the heart is needy. And God can't do this to a heart that is haughty, a heart that doesn't want to know God's will and God's way, but it's to that heart that is needy. Then God can give that broken spirit, that spirit that doesn't want to do my own way, but to do the will of the Father, a broken and a contrite heart, that we come to know what the sin that has cost our Savior and Redeemer. And he says, O God, thou wilt not despise this. And oh, dear traveler, God will not despise. And he says, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. And here he was even praying for all of Zion, and all that it would be our heart's desire this evening, that for all of Zion, wherever they are gathered, that all would come to experience this experience of David within his very own heart, that then then build thou the walls of Jerusalem, that God can build those walls back up. Man can tear down the walls that are found within this very word, but know what, dear traveler, God can build up. Man can't build up, but it's God that will build up these walls. And we pray that this would be even the desire of those speakers that even come to this place here, as well as throughout our Christendom, that we wouldn't want to have that desire to break down the walls that are found within this very word, but that we, through this word, would allow God to build those walls and keep those walls up. Dear traveler, that enemy of the soul is so cunning and deceitful, that even brings the children of our time, that dear traveler, that something has happened, that something is lacking, when we got to find that we need entertainment for the children. What entertainment do we need, dear traveler, but that we would be around the Word of God, that we often study the Word of God, and that I know a lot of times today the young seem to want to go on their own, but that we wouldn't go on our own, dear young people, that we want to have those that are learned even in Christianity, that they aren't so not necessarily always knowledgeable, will always know every answer that's found within this Word, but that they could help you and instruct you through experiences on their life's journey, that we would always keep the young and the elders together. And David says here in our closing verse here, then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and with whole burnt offering. Then shalt they offer bullocks upon thine altar. And here is a picture of none other than our Savior and Redeemer, that we can offer before the face of all the world and all mankind, that this word points to redemption that is found in none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who came down to earth and walked as we did, and he tasted every sin that we have even thought of or fell into, dear traveler, but he did not sin. And remember, dear traveler, when the enemy of the soul often wants to come to us, that we'd often take this word, remember when Jesus was in the wilderness and he's tempted of the devil, how did he answer back the enemy of the soul? He answered back with the word. That was the only thing he could answer back with, dear traveler, that stood, and it was the word of God. Often read the word, they're young, and even the elders here this evening, read the word, and this word, which we would pray then, that God would enlighten our hearts and our bosoms, that we would come to know what a great love that God had for our very own soul, that he would give his Savior for salvation for our undying souls. And we would even ask that in closing, that as we will go on our journey here Tuesday, that you would remember me and my family in prayer, that we could one day too, also, as our prayer would be for you, dear travelers, that we could make it to home one day, that we would always love the Word and love that Word so close that we'd hold it precious to our very own hearts. And remember, even the children of God that gather there in Chassel, that that God would continue to work even in our hearts, that would be a continue working until the day that He calls us from this life. And we would ask that God would even bless these few words unto our undying souls. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, we were surprised when the brother came into our midst, and also the brother Earl was with us this morning. How often we in our congregation have visitors. Almost every week, it seems, we have visitors in our congregation throughout the year. A good part of it is because of children who have moved to this part of the country and their parents come to see them. And the other way around, when children have left and they come back home to see their parents, and they bring their families, that amaze us sometimes how they've grown. And we've been fortunate that way, that we have so many visitors, and it's pleasant to fellowship with those that we haven't seen for a long time. Travel in our day and age is very easy, and almost anyone can travel anytime, and we don't know how long we'll have this convenience. It may be in the near future, it may be altogether different, and even the brother who's with us, it could be that years could go by that we may not see one another. We live in a very affluent time. We don't know what the future holds. I know I've mentioned this before, how that the big year is drawing close, the turning of another century and another millennium. But I believe that the effects of the whole numbers is what is affecting us. And there is nothing that tells us exactly to the day or year that there's any big change about to take place. Some firmly believe that the world will draw to a close on the year 2000. I don't particularly have that prophecy. I don't know. We know that if we see the year 2000, that it will certainly, just by reason of statistics, it will be the end of the world for many. But collectively, we don't know. And we do not know what's ahead. An outstanding verse of what the brother read here is verse 14. I'd just like to comment on briefly here. That deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. I wonder how easy it would be for us to believe if we had David's sin in our life, if we had the sin of blood guiltiness, if we have taken another life. I wonder how easy it would be for us to believe. We perhaps don't know of anyone personally that has the sin of murder in their life and once was upon their conscience, but yet are now freed from it. However, sometimes we in our heart feel, according to Jesus' words, that we are no less sinners than David, because Jesus tells us that if we have anger towards a brother without a cause, we have committed murder. We have a murderous heart. And yet there are times when we are able to, by God's grace, be delivered from these wicked thoughts and these murderous thoughts, and that we can comprehend that God forgives them. And maybe for David it was perhaps no more difficult for him to believe the deed forgiven than it is for us to believe the thought forgiven. It is good if sin would weigh on our heart, as the brother mentioned, his brother-in-law who is feeling more recently the so-called lesser sins or weights as being troublous sins to him. And that's a good report and a good sound when even the thoughts of our heart, which are contrary to God's word, when they become weights and they become guilts to us. That because God looks into the heart and he sees our heart and he sees the depravity, that, and he knows the depravity of fallen mankind, and also from the heart stem all manner of unrighteousness, evil thoughts and adulteries, as the brother spoke of, many evil inclinations and evil deeds and thoughts and words. They stem from the heart of man. It's like a vile fountain, and every now and then it spews forth its blackness and its evil and its wickedness. And the Christian experiences this. The Christian journeys with this knowledge of his depravity and the fount that is within. And David, amazingly, he pleads, and I've wondered sometimes when this psalm here is recorded for us to read in black and white, that was this a prayer that David made, or was this a few thoughts of his heart that he recorded and he wrote down? Perhaps David was accustomed to writing his thoughts, that we have these words that seem to be a prayer, that seem to be a prayer that was sighed from the heart of David unto God. And he pleads intently here for God's mercy and God's forgiveness. And how does this ring with you? How does this psalm that the brother expounded on here, how does this psalm answer to you? Or is it foreign to you? Do you have to ask God, now that you've been a Christian for many years, do you have to ask him for forgiveness? Do you have to ask and plead to God that be merciful unto me, a sinner? Do you have to pray unto God that take not thy Holy Spirit from me? Are these strange thoughts? Or are they daily your thoughts? Are they daily your prayer? That you can your heart answers with David's heart, that and with this holy scriptures, that yes, that is my journey. Yes, I need to daily ask for God's mercy. That it wasn't sufficient, though I thought it would be, that when I was converted, that now I'm going to be a Christian. And in one sense, that is true, that we are converted and become Christians. Christian is a biblical name. The disciples, the Bible says, were first called Christians in Antioch. It was kind of a name of derision, but nevertheless the name stuck. And another place it says, if any of you suffer as a Christian. So the Christian name is a biblical name and term. And when one is truly converted unto Christ, we become Christians. And yet, once we are Christians and carry the name of Christian, we find that our life is not so Christian-like always. In fact, we many times, because of what we feel within and being tempted and being weak, and we find ourselves in sin, that it's easy for us to doubt that we're any Christian at all. And sometimes we feel that it's too high of a name to take to ourselves, that I am a Christian when I have such thoughts as I have. This is a common experience for the believer. But we are Christians because of grace. We are Christians because God has shown us mercy. We are Christians because God has granted us his great grace, as he granted unto David. And God would that we would that he would hear from our lips then his praise, as David says in here, that and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Amazing. David sings the praise unto God. I would that all gathered here this evening together with us, that that the word of God would so work in your heart, and the Spirit of God move within your heart, that yes, you also would sing aloud with your tongue of his righteousness. In other words, that joy would be living and alive within your heart, that it would become a real matter, that God's forgiveness would become a living matter within your heart. So then when you read this psalm, it will answer to your heart. Every verse will answer to your heart. I do not speak these matters because the brother did not speak on them. It's just thoughts that came to me as he was speaking concerning this blessed psalm. And it is a psalm that we can reread and reread often and consider. And we can even read it as a prayer unto God, that we might put these beautiful words before our Heavenly Father in prayer form. The brother will be leaving our midst, as he mentioned, and so it is that how swiftly days go by and weeks go by. Often they come for 2 weeks, days, and how it seems that we just see them for a few fleeting moments, and the time is gone, and time is swiftly passing. And we want to remember him with his family and ask that he would carry greetings to the congregation there and in earnest pray to God that we might also continue in the most blessed faith and continue on the journey of faith unto that blessed homeland, and that God would grant us his grace so that we would not be deceived and think and have the name only that we are Christians, but that we might be his true children. We ask the brother and the sister that they would earnestly pray in our behalf, because the word tells us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So it is not out of order that we ask one man, be it the brother or whoever we need to bring our request to, that there is that power in the prayer of a fervent man, that it avails much. And we pray for a safe trip, naturally, to Michigan and ultimately to the blessed homeland on high forevermore, with all the redeemed souls that are gathered there, and that their striving and that their faith would not be in vain, and that God would bless their children also with his grace and peace, and with his protection and his care always. Let us close in prayer here. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy grace. We thank thee that we have been around thy word. We thank thee that thou hast called us from sin and from darkness, of which we are by nature, unto thy light and into thy blessed peace and joy. We cannot thank thee rightly, because we cannot understand these matters rightly. But Father, receive our poor and weak thanks, that we do want to lift our hands unto thee and our hearts towards thee, Heavenly Father, in acknowledgement of thy great graces, in acknowledgement of thy great providence, in acknowledgement of the peace that thou hast blessed us with, in acknowledgement that we are Christians and that we are thy children even day to day, and that we are truly travelers and journeymen towards the celestial city. Heavenly Father, we praise thy name and thank thee for this great and amazing grace, and preserve us ever and always on this blessed road of faith, and take not thy Holy Spirit from us, that we would not be cut short, that we would not be shipwrecked, but that rather that we would attain unto the crown of everlasting life by grace through faith. And Lord, as we go, bless us and keep us. Lord, make thy face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lord, lift up thy countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
As Brother Tim has already said, do we ask Brian and his family to bring the greetings of this congregation on your journey home. There'll be a church service here Thursday evening at 7:30, next Sunday morning at 10:30, and Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. The closing song tonight will be number 59 from the small book.
I thought they were okay. there Tuesday.
I'll do that.
Yeah, the brother said that he's planning to stop and see Abraham Ketola. Is that correct? Yeah, in North Carolina. He's on the Marine base there.
Yeah.
And we want to bring special greetings to young Abraham, who's probably alone there, away from the Christians there. And then they're going to the South Carolina congregation. Are you going to North Carolina? That is High Point?
No.
Pray that our
blood so free.
Was it? Huh?